If you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, we will be looking at this chapter today. Proverbs 31 is a challenging passage. And as we look at it, I'm hoping to come at it from a different perspective, hopefully to avoid some of the challenges, but we'll see. Proverbs 31 is actually a oracle that King Lemuel gives us that his mother taught him. Some believe that King Lemuel is Solomon because his name means devoted to God or one who is for God. But we aren't really sure who he is, but that really doesn't matter because what we have here in Proverbs 31 is the same thing that we see throughout the scriptures, throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 31 is a mother giving wisdom to her son, just as the rest of Proverbs is a father giving wisdom to his son. Her desire here is for her son to be warned against great temptations. The great temptation that a king might face, the great temptation that we face. So as we look at this passage, we come to it wanting to see what God has for us. But before we read the scriptures, let's go to him in prayer. Our God and our Father, we have here before us your word. The words that are what you have given to us, so that we might know what is right and true. Lord, we come seeking your wisdom, knowing that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. It is by seeking you, Lord, that we might have wisdom. Lord, I ask that you would guard our hearts to only hear your words being spoken. I pray that you would guide my lips, that it would only be truthful things that will come out of my mouth, and that you'll guide our ears so that we might hear and open them so that we can hear you speak to us today. We pray this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink. Lest you drink and forget what it has been decreed, and pervert the right of the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like a ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruits of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lip or on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellent, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Here we have a passage of a king and his future wife is to look like. But we want to look at this passage in the light of the gospel. So I have two main points for us today. One is the Proverbs 31 proclaims the gospel. And Proverbs 31 also reveals the gospel fruit. As we look at Proverbs 31, as we read it just a minute ago, what crosses your mind? How do you compare to this virtuous woman? That's probably the last question you wanted me to ask you today. Ladies, does this passage overwhelm you or depress you because of her abilities? Or do you feel like you just have to work a little bit harder and you might achieve like she does? Men, husband, were you evaluating your wife as I was reading? If so, you should stop. How does this passage, this woman, compare to you? We see here a passage that's described as a woman of virtue, but her abilities are to, as we look at them, we should compare ourselves, each of us, to them. This passage isn't just for ladies or for mothers, but it's also for men, for husbands, and for children. As we look at her, we see one that is more works hard, probably harder than we do. She's more industrious. She's more excellent. For it says, you surpass them all. So where does this leave us? Well, whenever we come to Scripture, and Scripture sets before us an ideal or a purpose, a standard that is higher than we can see, can achieve, it calls us to examine ourselves in the light of the gospel. John Calvin writes that one of the functions of the law is to reveal to us God's perfect righteousness and our own sinfulness and shortcoming. And I believe as we look at this passage here today, we need to examine it in that same light. The same light that the law of God is to be examined, the same light that all Scripture is. It shows us God's perfect righteousness. That standard that we cannot reach. And in light that it shows us our sinfulness and our shortcoming. You know, Jesus did the same thing. He said, you know the law of God. You know the Ten Commandments. And if you think that you can uphold those, let's say one of them, I have not murdered anyone. Jesus tells us, reconsider. Have you hated your brother? And if so, then you have committed murder. The standard is much higher than we can achieve. It is a perfect standard. So how does this bring us to the gospel? This brings us to the gospel because Jesus Christ is the only one who measures up. He is the only one that surpasses them all. He came into this world to live a perfect life, but then he died upon the cross so that we might be united with him and his righteousness might become ours. In theology, we call this the union, our union with Christ. Scripture illustrates this in an image called a marriage. In marriage, the husband and the wife are united together as one, and they become one flesh. Here, Christ and the church become one flesh, his bride. Our union with Christ, we are made righteous with him. Jesus Christ, the perfect king, is now united with his bride, the virtuous woman. Revelation tells us in chapter 7 that the robes of the saints, these robes that are dirty and stained by the world and by our sin, are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and are made white, ready for the marriage feast. In our union with Christ, our blemishes are taken away, and we are made new so that we might be joined to him in marriage. A little later in Revelation 19, we hear this. Let us rejoice and be exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Wait a minute. I just said that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But as we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we are also then girded on the clothing of our righteous deeds as we serve him. We see here, Revelation is pointing us now not just to that we are made and united with Christ, but who we are called as the bride of Christ to be. And that is who we are to be now. Here we have in the Revelation and in Proverbs 31, this leads us back to Proverbs 31, how we are called to live. We have been made righteous. Now we are to live lives of righteousness. Paul also says this in Galatians 5 in our New Testament reading, that we see there the fruits of the Spirit, that there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things that are to be who we are in Christ. James tells us in chapter 2 that if our faith does not have good works, then it is dead. So what we see here now is that as we are united with the King, as we have been united as the bride of Christ with our King and our husband, we are called to live lives that are virtuous. So we come now, not to Proverbs 31, to see how we can do better, but what Proverbs 31 tells us how we should be living, how we should be like the virtuous woman. And those. So what I want to do is to go through the passage again and hit a couple of things where we look at them and examine how we are doing. Not so that we can do better on our own, but a challenge to us to seek to be faithful to what God has called us to be. We'll start in verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts her. We see here in the Proverbs 31 woman, a woman that is trustworthy. It's not just trustworthy in what to her husband, but she's also trustworthy in her business deals. I mean, as we read through this passage, she is doing all these business deals and working with merchants. She is an honest woman. She is a trustworthy woman. James tells us also that our yes is to be yes and our no to be no. Believers, we are called to be trustworthy people. We are called to be ones that are honest in all that we do. Do your friends, do your family members, do your co-workers trust you? Can they trust that your words are true and that you will accomplish what you say? Do they know what comes out when you say yes, that it will be a true yes? We are called to be trustworthy. Secondly, we see here in the passage that she's a diligent worker. A couple of those verses that just highlight this. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. As we have already discussed, she's an industrious woman. She's diligent, hard worker. She reveals a contrast to the sluggard, which is seen in the rest of Proverbs. The sluggard who can't even lift the spoon to his mouth to feed himself. In contrast, here, the virtuous woman works from before the dawn until late in the night. She uses the gifts that the Lord has given her and works hard to provide for her family and for others. Colossians 3 tells us, "Whatever you do, work heartily as of to the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you working hard for the Lord? Whether it is for your boss or for your spouse, or for a friend, or another family member, do you serve them hard and work diligently? How do you spend your time? Do you waste your time, or do you spend your time diligently working for others? The Proverbs 31 woman challenges us to work hard for the Lord. Next, we see that she has a hopeful outlook on life. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She works, as we've seen, she works hard. But the Proverbs 31 woman, while she works hard and provides for her family, is not dependent upon or does not fully trust in her own abilities to provide for her, for her family. She clothes herself in strength. But she clothes herself in strength knowing that the Lord God is the one who gives her her strength. She's not afraid of the snow. Why? Because she knows who controls the weather. She doesn't. She laughs at the time to come. Who holds the future in his hand? Believers, we are called to trust in the Lord because he is in control. We pray this when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God, we ask to give us what we need for today and not what we need for tomorrow. We trust him for that. Then, Jesus Christ says the same thing when he tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Instead, we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and he will provide for us. I think it's interesting here to look at this passage and where it says that the woman laughs at the future or at what will come. Do you laugh at what will come? You know, we, in the last several years, have been through some challenging times. some uncertain times. We might look at the future and see it as bleak. We might see it as uncertain. But the Proverbs 31 woman laughs at what was to come. She can laugh because she knows that who's in control. It is the Lord God. The psalmist says this also. In Psalm 2, we read, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one. But who is on the throne? Who is on the throne in heaven is the Lord God Almighty. While these people can rage war against God, God will bring about what is his plan and his justice." And so therefore we come and can laugh at those who think they have the future in control, because we know who actually does. It is the Lord God who is in control. Jesus tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail over the church, the bride of Christ. Even Satan does not have authority over God's people. So take hope and courage. Can you laugh at the times to come because you have your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Fourthly, we see here that the Proverbs 31 woman is kind. She promotes the well-being of others. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. That's to speaking of her husband. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Here we see that the Proverbs 31 woman is one that builds up her household, builds up her husband. She knows wisdom, and she shares that with others. And the way that she shares it is out of kindness. She speaks truth in love and kindness. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 that we are to encourage each other and build each other up in the faith. Here we have what the Proverbs 31 woman is doing. She teaches with kindness. Believers, are you one that builds each other up? Do you lift each other up in the Lord? Are you one that encourages others rather than tear down? Do we seek ways to encourage each other? But it doesn't stop there with the Proverbs 31 woman. Her kindness extends past just words, but also to action. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. Do you see there what that verse does? She has what she has worked hard for in her hands. And as soon as she has hold of it, her hard labor, what does she do with it? She gives it to others and to the needy. She here is willing to take her hard-earned earnings and share that with others. If we go back to the first part of the passage, to King Lemuel, his mother calls him to promote justice and to care for the destitute. We see, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. You might say to me, though, this is information for the king, for the ruler, right? The king is to promote justice. The king is to give to the poor and to help the needy. Well, believers, you are the bride of Christ. Therefore, as the bride of Christ, you have been united to Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And therefore, as the King of kings, he has called you, his bride, to promote justice, to extend a hand to the poor and the needy, to defend those that are helpless, to speak for those who cannot. We are called to care for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Micah reminds us of this also. In Micah 6, the Lord speaks and says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. Are you a person who seeks the well-being of others in your words and in your actions? Are you known for your kindness? Here we've had four areas that are guided us in looking at our own lives. So how does we conclude this? As we look at this passage in Proverbs 31, the woman here is to be praised. She is a virtuous woman. But I think it's important to recognize that her husband sits in the gates, sits at the place of prominence in the land, and the people know. And part of what it is not that he isn't a worker too, and that's a whole different area. But here, as we look at the Proverbs 31 woman, what she does, the praises that she receives, ultimately give honor and praise to her husband. We've mentioned multiple times how we are the bride of Christ. And I believe here in this passage, as we come to an end, we see that we are called to give praise and glory to God by the way we do things. As we are these things, as we are trustworthy and diligent and hopeful and kind, God is given praise. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify you? No. But glorify your Father who is in heaven. As we seek to be faithful in following Christ, as we seek to as we seek to glorify God in our actions, then we will serve others. And his name is then proclaimed. You are the bride of Christ. God has called you into this world to do good, to promote justice and goodness. And in doing that, to point people to Christ and to the salvation that they can have in him. How are you doing in that? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to this passage and we recognize that we do not fall faithful in this task. Lord, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we have been united through Christ as your bride. May we go from here, Lord, as your bride, trusting in you for everything, hopeful in all that you've provided, and faithful in serving you so that people might see our good deeds and glorify you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.